Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Rex Ryan will be joining me in just a second, but man, did the Kansas City Chiefs put on a show. The Chiefs are back. Andy Reid had that offense humming. Oh, wow. And the defense has a pulse. Maybe, just maybe, the Pittsburgh Steelers should have gave Melvin Ingram a chance. Can he be the difference? I don't know, but we'll have to find out. And Mahomes looked like he's getting the Mahomes price all by himself. Patrick Mahomes today, 5 touchdown passes. The offense looked crisp and ready to contend for the division. They look solid. They look sound. And on the other side, what a devastating loss for the Las Vegas Raiders. DeSean Jackson with a pivotal turnover. And you can't do that. You can't give the Patrick Mahomes, when he's on point, give him the ball back. Patrick Mahomes got the ball out of his hands, took what the defense gave him. And when the defense came up to try and stop him on the dinks and dunks, he made plays over the top. Kelce, excellent again. Tyreek Hill, as usual. And everybody else stepped in and played accordingly. I don't know. Is this a sign of things to come? Or once again, will the NFL throw us a curveball and tell us that what we think we know absolutely nothing. But as of right now, the Chiefs are back. And they can bask for a week, but they're going to have to defend it again the following week.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And Rex, I cannot figure this league out. I don't know who's good, who's not good. It varies week to week. I mean, you talk about the Browns, Pats, that was supposed to be the matchup of the week, but it was just a straight up beatdown. And once again, our favorite quarterback, Baker Mayfield, comes up small when they need him to come up big, missing a couple of running backs.
Yeah, and you know, look, I picked this game right, but it was a horrible matchup for Baker Mayfield. And the matchup that wasn't good for him is the Patriots play a ton of man coverage, all right? Baker Mayfield's second worst QBR rating against man coverage. Last week I told you about his fourth quarter, you know, the second worst in the fourth quarter when it matters the most. And so, look, I never made up. When I said Baker Mayfield is overrated as hell, I wasn't making it up. I was just telling the truth, what I believe to be the truth after 30 years of coaching or been around the NFL all my life. So, and nothing ever personal. I think he's great on those commercials. But as an NFL quarterback, dude, you got to be able to make throws. You got to throw people open in this league. You can't wait till they're wide open to throw and hesitate, which he takes a lot of sacks, because he's waiting for a guy to get open instead of being able to throw with touch. Yeah, I tell you what, on the other side, you saw a guy that throws with touch, a guy that throws with timing, all right? And Mac Jones, look, and I've been critical of him because I don't think he's got the arm talent. Well, you don't need any arm talent if you get the ball out of there the way he is. But, yeah, it was horrible for Baker Mayfield, a bad matchup. But why do you need – if you're really a franchise quarterback, all you Baker Mayfield fans out there that love him, okay, as a player, look, I love him in the commercials, but as a player, I don't love him. You shouldn't have to have 4 Pro Bowl offensive linemen, okay? They had one of their Pro Bowl linemen down the right tackle, and, man, it's like he couldn't function. You know, your Pro Bowl running back, one of the 2 Pro Bowl running backs you had, both of them were out. But, you know, the other kid did pretty good. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's like you, if you're a franchise quarterback, you got to be able to overcome those things. And they didn't. They got their butts kicked in this game.
So where does this leave the Browns? When you talk about the Browns, like right now, 5-5 in the basement of the AFC North. And you know that you can't win with Baker Mayfield. This is the best roster that Baker Mayfield will ever have, unless they find like some type of gem in the second round, like Alshon Jeffries or DK Metcalf. Like, this is the most talent he's ever going to be around. And I don't want to let this defense off the hook, this otherworldly defense that really just got smashed in the mouth. You talk about, you know, they gave up almost 200 yards rushing. Right. And Stevenson looks like a Sean Green in there. He's D-boying everybody. You're watching guys bounce off left and right. And they put a lot of money in the pass rushers, right? The outside guys. They put a lot of money into going and make sure they address the secondary and also the corners, the safeties, bringing in a kid from Los Angeles last year. But they didn't address the linebacker position. And I think that's one of the most diminished positions in all the NFL. You know, the teams that have a legitimate middle linebacker, you don't see these type of issues. And I feel like they address all the fancy pieces, all the pieces that look good on paper, but they didn't address the bridge, the connection between the front end and the back end. And it shows because they can't get off the football field and they're getting physically beat down and they're supposed to be the bullies. And Myles Garrett can only do so much, yeah. But you need somebody in the middle that can go sideline to sideline. They don't have that. And how can they possibly not go to playoffs with this type of roster this good?
Yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs. You can be 500 and make the playoffs, it looks like, this year. But, Bart, you're right. I mean, here's the thing. The NFL wants to play small ball on defense. All right, they want pass rushers and they want nickels on the field. And you don't see ever a team with three linebackers. They're playing with two all the time. Yeah. And so those two better be studs. And if you don't have that, then you need to play with three linebackers or you're going to get your face kicked in like we saw what happened to Cleveland in this game right here. But it's funny, but that's what happens. You're right. Where's the Ray Lewis and the Bart Scott? All right. You can play small ball when you got two physical players like that. All right. But this team right here, name me the damn linebacker. It doesn't matter. They don't show up and they get drug. And when all you do, and I've been on this D coordinator forever where it's like, he's going to be the one that's going to have to answer for this because they're not going to get rid of the head coach. They're not going to get rid of probably Baker Mayfield. They're damn sure going to get rid of this D coordinator. And to me, the scheme, you got to look at it. If you can't stop them, you better scheme it to where you can stop some people. And they're doing none of that.
I mean, and if you look on the other side, right, you look at the efficiency that they got from Mac Jones, but also you look at, you know, Kyle Van Noy. We know the name of Dante Hightower. We know the name of Jamie Collins, right? So it looks like Bill Belichick understands and values the positions that matter most, guys that can help you in the passing game and in the run game as well. But he has physical guys, and they're not getting beat up on, even though Ernest Johnson did have a good game at 99 yards. So
right.
When you look at him, Ben, you got the productivity from the offensive running game. You got some productivity from the outside. So you have to point the finger squarely at the quarterback. But where does this leave the Pats, and where do they rank as far as, you know, the, I don't know, the totem pole? Because right now it looks like Tennessee's number one, and it looks like everybody else is behind Tennessee because nobody's playing better than Tennessee in AFC. But they fooled me before. Every week we want to crown somebody, you look up, and they disappoint you.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Bart. And when I look at it, this is probably Bill Belichick's best coaching job he's ever done. I mean, he comes in, he recognizes the fact that, oh, as good a coach as you are, you're a hell of a lot better coach when you have really good players. So he goes out, spends $163 million, and guess what? We're starting to see that payoff. Hunter Henry, Judon, they're both playing their butts off. All right, Kendrick Bourne had a massive game today. So it's starting to pay off, but the way he's handled his young quarterback, you got to tip your hat to him. And yeah, right now, who's to say that they can play with anybody in this conference? So, you know, obviously we got a long way to go, but right now, what are they, third, fourth, maybe, you know, New England? And you mentioned what New England did also. They picked up Jamie Collins, all right? Detroit lets him go to play a younger player, and I get it. They're trying to build, but they let this player go. Cleveland could have picked him up. Everybody could have picked him up. No, who picks him up? The New England Patriots pick him up, and he's played really well. Obviously, he didn't play today because of the injury, but other than that, I mean, he's played well, and Cleveland could have picked him up. So, yeah, you kind of question that on the Browns for sure, and this New England team, they're going to play this physical, run the ball the way they're running with, you know, a backup running back, you know, shoot. It's hard to bet against this team.
The most interesting race to me is going to be who's going to get this last spot in the AFC, because I think it's going to come down to possibly the Steelers The Colts are coming on strong. I mean, you have the Chargers who took one on the chin again against Minnesota, but the Chiefs as well. I mean, this line, I know we think that everybody's getting in. You have three teams in the AFC West, you know, from the Chiefs to Chargers to Raiders. You have the Colts, you have the Bengals, you have the Steelers, you have the Browns. You know what I mean? Out of that division. Ravens. And then you got the Ravens, and you still have the Bills and the Patriots. So somebody's going to be left out that was a favorite to go to the postseason. And I tell you what, that's going to be the most interesting race that when we get to the last weeks of the season, it's going to be meaningful games. It's going to be playing your end type of games. But we all know that seventh seed that gets in, whatever seventh seed gets in, can potentially win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And you're right, Bart. We have 17 games. I was wondering how are we going to get there? It seems like a lot of these really good teams are focused on, like, damn, that's a long way down the road, instead of really focusing on one game at a time. Now, New England, under Bill Belichick, their team hasn't had that lull. They're focused 1 week, you know, every single week. You know what you're getting. But we've seen the Bills fall trap to it. We've seen, you know, the Ravens fall trap to it. A lot of these teams that we think are really good teams have been bit by really bad football teams. So, you know, Pittsburgh, they should have lost that game today. Now, I get it. Big Ben wasn't playing. Well, so what? Detroit had Jared Goff as their quarterback. So, you know, it's like, I mean, come on, man. Like, this is, you know, they had 40 yards passing going into overtime. You know, so, you know, every week it's different. Tennessee's done a phenomenal job. Vrabel's done a phenomenal job. Because I thought they were done. As soon as Derrick Henry left, I know they're going to make the playoffs and win their division. But, like, where are they going to go without Derrick Henry? Well, they just keep lining them up and keep knocking them down.
I tell you Rex, like, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I know for a fact that it's hard to be hungry when you're full. It's hard to be hungry when you're full. And one thing about running it back with everybody, everybody's full. Nobody's jealous. Nobody comes on a team like, man, y'all won a Super Bowl last year. Look at y'all shiny rings. I want one. So you talk about Tampa Bay Buccaneers and everybody's full. They come back and listen, they did something I didn't think they would be capable of doing. They brought everybody back. And I know that they don't have any Antonio Brown. I know they didn't have Gronk. But we talk about Baker Mayfield having two area everything. Yep. They still had a Mike Evans. They still had a Godwin. They still had a Brake. They still had a Fournette. They had more than enough. But what was surprising is how Tyler Heinicke can make sure that in crunch time, he can take off 9 minutes off of a clock and leave the goat on the sideline. Rex, this was the upset of the day. Nobody saw this coming.
No.
How did they pull it off? And what are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
They pulled it off by bloodying their nose. And that's the thing. You know, Tampa Bay, all we heard about was this run defense. Nobody can run the ball against them like they were the 2000 Ravens. What? This team ain't close to being built that way. That's like 4 or 5 weeks in a row teams have run the ball on Tampa Bay. So, to me, that, I think, is the biggest disappointment. And in Washington, look, if we could say what's the most disappointing thing up, you know, at the halfway point, a unit, if you can take so far the most disappointing unit in the NFL, you probably start with Washington's defense, and yet now they're playing against Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champ Bucks, and they look like $1 billion. I mean, this is the defense we expected Washington to have. So to me, a great effort by them, but Tampa Bay is not as good as they think. And I love Bruce Arians' comments. He's saying, hey, this team is a dumb football team, and I put the blame on the coaches. Good for Bruce Arians, man, because he's going to – you know, look, Bruce is a good man. He's great to be around, but he's also competitive. And he's going to be in the middle of you-know-what of their coaches, you know, come Monday.
I mean, you talk about coming off a bye, man, and then these type of performances. Remember last year in the postseason, this was a team that – this was a fight. Last time in the season. I don't know what Riverboat Ryan and sometimes philosophies make for great matchups, and it's, you know, unlikely because some teams, it's all about matchup styles. And listen, I don't know what Riverboat Ryan has on Bruce Arians and that type of offense, but man, it showed today. And you know, talk about Tom Brady uncharacteristically, two interceptions, today. You know, not being able to run the ball. You're waiting for Tom Brady to figure out. And we're used to seeing people really not play well in the first half. You talk about great teams and they turn it on in the third quarter. We witnessed that in the Buffalo Bills, you know, Jets game, which I can't even stomach talking about that. But just an example of just like the better team, the superior team usually wins these type of matchups. And I don't know what they have to do. Do you think maybe this is a good thing? Because maybe they've been feeling themselves and now they're looking up and they've lost not one, not two, they've lost three. And this is a team that was flirting. And remember the conversation we were having in the offseason? That they were going to go undefeated. The conversation that the peanut gallery was having, right? Oh man, this team, who's going to go undefeated? The Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And that was a real discussion. And, you know, everybody got involved in it. Gronkowski got involved in it. You know, Patrick Mahomes got involved in it. You know, these teams, like, we're wondering if the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make the playoffs, let alone be undefeated. So what do you make out of this? And, you know, was this a good thing? Is this a good thing for maybe everybody kind of, have a slice of humble pie?
It's interesting that you bring that up. I remember when my dad was part of that 85 Bear team, obviously, and they go 18-1. They had the one hiccup against Miami. And boy, if Miami would have made that Super Bowl, I know for a fact, in my opinion, the Bears would have destroyed them in that Super Bowl. But everybody to a man in that locker room believe that if they don't lose that game to Miami, they may lose in the playoffs. And the reason for it is that game hurt so bad and was such a wake-up call to that Bear team that they made damn sure that wasn't going to happen again. And Tampa Bay, as the old thing, wake the you-know-what up. You're not as freaking good as you think. You got to prepare your ass off, and you got to go out and you have to execute. And that's what it is. Every game, one game at a time, it almost looks like they are looking down that path and seeing 17 games. Damn. You know what I mean? Like you have all day. No, you have one freaking game that week. They need to start playing that way. Tom Brady knows it, but come on, he's thrown four picks in the last two games, you know, after throwing only three in the first seven games. So I don't know, Bart. I just don't think – I don't see the focus. I don't see the drive. And you're right. Sometimes, man, success – once you've had that success, it's hard to come back and have that same fire and that same determination.
Yeah, we know what Brady's playing for. We know that he's always hungry, no matter how full we think he is. But it's like the other guys around him that may not have that same hunger because they never experienced the level of success. You know, after last week, we thought that, okay, much like Tampa Bay gave us the blueprint how to beat Kansas City, we thought that the Broncos gave us a blueprint to beat the Cowboys. And listen, I picked that to maybe be the upset special. But I forgot that nobody knows Matty Ice quite like Dan Quinn.
Yeah,
and man, it showed. He knew all the secrets. He knew what he struggled with, what he didn't struggle with, because that's not the Matty Ice that threw for 343 last week. Yeah, the Cowboys back, or maybe another opponent tries to emulate the same game plan and could have more success?
I think the only way you're going to beat Dallas is that you got out physical. And the other thing is you got to be playing from a lead. Dallas is built to play with a lead. And that's what the undersized pass rushers they have. They play small ball. They put all those DBs on the field. And I think that's a team that will just punch them in the face like Denver did the week before and control the clock and keep that offense, you know, on the sideline and use multiple coverages, multiple fronts, all those type of things that Vic Fangio did defensively. That's the type of team that it's going to take to beat Dallas. Because if you're just going to go out there and play one or two coverages and one or two fronts, you're going to get crushed by this team. Dak Prescott's way too good of a quarterback. He has way too many weapons. And that's what we saw today. And so, yeah, I was disappointed. I wanted them to play with their two tight ends, play them in tight end positions, and run the ball downhill at Dallas. I never saw it.
I tell you what, man, you talk about an explosion, 29 points in the second quarter. Ooh. alone. I mean, you talk about a beatdown. Listen, they got beat down so bad that we saw a Josh Rosen sighting. This dude's been missing on a milk carton since his rookie year in Arizona. And who knew he was in Atlanta, man? One for six, man. You know it's a problem there. You know, and the Cowboys, Dak Prescott on the other side, you know, 296 yards, two touchdowns. You know, this game was over before it started. But I asked this question: who's the best team in the NFC? Because I don't know that either, because we thought that it was the Super Bowl champions. Last week, we took the mantle away from the Dallas Cowboys. Now we look up and all of a sudden, the Packers of Green Bay, you know, all of a sudden look like they're a team that can play defense now.
I know. That's the thing that drives me crazy. They're the fifth-ranked defense in the league. And Aaron Rodgers, like, this game right here was Aaron looked like he had a little ring rust in there. Wasn't the same guy we're used to, but that's scary. Let's get Aaron Rodgers back on track and be the MVP of the league like he was last year, play to that level. And this defense, they haven't played defense like this since Dom Capers was a D coordinator about 10 years ago. So, you know, I just think it's crazy. And the other thing is, though, like Arizona, man, I was raving about the job Cliff Kingsbury did, that you don't have your quarterback, you don't have, you know, Green, you don't have Hopkins, your two best receivers missing, all that type of stuff. And all you do is go out there and, I mean, put a beat down on San Francisco the week before, like, God, what a great job, best team in the league. Then they go out and get absolutely slaughtered today. So, you're right. I don't know who the hell it is. I assume the Rams will be in that spot. But, I mean, how can you trust them right
now? Lost to Tennessee. Hey, yeah. And listen, I know we're jumping all over the place. I know we jump all the way into the 4 o'clock games. But, you know, that's crazy, right? I just kind of want to focus on what Aaron Rodgers did. And today was amazing coming back. They got the win, right? And we kind of expected them to win. But on the other side, what does this mean for the Seattle Seahawks? And what does this mean for, like, Russell Wilson and his future? Because if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm looking at the fact that I'm back and I got no chance of going to the postseason. And I'm looking at the Rams, who have loaded up for a couple of years with Matthew Stafford under contract, who has loaded. And then I'm looking at the Arizona Cardinals. They've loaded up. Now, okay, we may be even with the 49ers, who, I don't know, man. You know, I know Kyle Shanahan is took him to the Super Bowl, but one winning season since he's been there, and he's on a contract for a long, long time. Man, did he fool him, right? Like oh, Brian, you tell him, if you can't long trick him,
yeah,
you got to trick, you know what? You know, and it looked like he got him, right? Because now he has a college contract, right? This guy, you know, he's on the contract, and they got some bad players, man. And listen, yeah, they've spent all their first-round draft picks, and who knows what Trey Lance really is. And then they may have to hold on to Jimmy G, you know, because they don't know what Trey Lance is, right? But yeah, then this team is going home early. They're packing the U-Hauls. So, like, if I'm Russell Wilson, I know last year he flirted with wanting to leave, but have we seen the last of maybe Pete Carroll? Is it time to tear this thing up?
Yeah, I'm not real sure about that. I think Russell Wilson just that just shows what it looks like when you have a month off. All right. And, like, literally he was out for almost a whole month, you know, before he went back in and played. So I let's see how he looks next week, but I'm willing to give him a pass on this week. Let's see how he plays.
No, Rex, we all believe in Russell Wilson. What right. I'm saying is last year he had his list. He had his list that included the Raiders, Chicago,
you,
and he had Dallas. So what I'm saying is, if I'm Russell Wilson, do I want to sit around for a rebuild? Because it looks like me, they got to do a lot of retooling. And we know for a fact that it's going to be a spot that's going to be open in Washington if he wants it. Potentially a spot open in New Orleans if he wants it. Potentially a spot open in Pittsburgh if he wants it. Potentially a spot open in Miami if he wants it. So if he had a list last year, that list this year is going to be a little bit sweeter, with programs that are in better position to compete right now than the Seattle Seahawks. That's what I'm saying. In that division.
I get you. And there'll probably be a spot open in Carolina and Denver too. So you're right. There are going to be a lot of those things right there. I think he's just got to go out, try to get his team in the playoffs and see what happens. But he's got to play better, and he knows it. It's got to start with him. And I think that team will still compete. Their defense looks a little better to me. Like they played a lot better, you know, these last few weeks. So maybe they can get back on track. Not really ready to punt on the season if I'm Seattle. It's interesting, though, you did mention San Francisco. And I always say the most overrated team in the National Football League is the San Francisco 49ers, you know, and the coaching with Shanahan and, you know, with John Lynch as the GM. Why do I say that? They finished dead last in that division four out of the last 5 years. Out of the last 5 years. They're on well on their way to finishing dead last again. That'd make it 5 of 6. How many more years you got to understand that this team ain't as good as you think they are?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I tell you what, man. Rex, I got to tile off. You got me hot and bothered early in the segment. What I want to do is I think I looked up in the sky and it was a bird and it was a plane. I think it is the return of Superman. And we still got to talk about OBJ going back home to be with LeBron James and family. So I'll tile off. We'll come back. We'll discuss that in a bit.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And Rex, I tell you what, man, the return of Superman. First of all, were you surprised that this man was activated today?
How the hell could he be activated? Like, they just signed him like 3 days ago, and there he is. And Bart, what do you count for, like 2 touchdowns in the game? Like, are you? This is crazy.
2 plays, 2 touchdowns.
Too easy. Like, and good for him, man. Good for Cam Newton. But I got to say this. What the hell is Carolina thinking? And what I mean by they had this man as their starting quarterback. They shipped him down the road, right? Just said, we're going to release you. Good riddance. All right? He signs on with New England. Then you go in, you got Teddy Two Gloves. You got Teddy Bridgewater as your stopgap quarterback, your bridge quarterback for your superstar you're going to draft. Well, guess what? They send him packing, all right, to Denver. All right, you know, whatever. They lose him. Gave him a lot of money. They lose him, okay? Send him on. We're going to trade for Sam Darnold. This is going to be the young superstar quarterback. We're going to give up 3 draft picks for him. We're going to sign his 50-year option that to waste 20-some million dollars right there. Okay, he gets hurt or whatever. We know he stinks. But you know what? Let's bring in Cam Newton. We're not punting on the season. We signed Gilmore. We got a hell of a defense. Let's bring in Cam Newton to be our quarterback. What the hell did you let him go for in the first place? Would have been a lot cheaper. Now, here's the great thing. Nobody is giving Cam Newton a dollar. They give him $10 million to sign, to guarantee.
$4.5 million guaranteed.
Half a year. Half a year. Why didn't you say we're going to give you the minimum, take it or leave it? Nobody else signed him. There's something that they just said about Carolina. They don't get it.
Listen, ownership says probably, hey, get it done. Give him whatever he wants.
I guess.
I mean, you talk about Cam, and listen, Cam said it checked all the boxes, right? He knew that this was an opportunity because he was looking at Sam Darnold play without Chris McCaffrey. He's played without Chris McCaffrey. Cam knew, hey, man, if I get here, I can maybe work my way back here, you know, and find myself a home if I can come in here with this team that's kind of close. And remember, this is a team to me I always said was dangerous, right? Because underneath the right scheme and being able to kind of play complementary football, and you know what Cam brings to the running game because he holds the backside defensive end. He also holds the backside linebacker. I mean, we were calling Sam Darnold Michael White for a minute. You know what I'm saying? We call him because he was getting touchdowns and running and doing the RPOs, but Cam created this stuff. And you think about Joe Brady and what he can do with Cam in the old Nick Foles RPO. Cam is great at putting that. He's a magician when it comes to putting that ball in the belly and reading what the linebackers are doing, the edge guys doing, and throwing the ball behind. And he has some of the best weapons ever. that he's ever had. I mean, I know people love that he had punches, Jericho Crotchery, and you know when he went to the Super Bowl. But I would say that DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson is a better pair of receivers, and Christian McCaffrey is a better pair of receivers that he's ever had at the skill position. Now, the offensive line leaves something to be desired, but Cam Newton makes you play 11 on 11. And when you don't play 11 on 11, he's good enough with that ball to take it out of the hands to play, you know, magician behind that line. And that defense can really, you know, pin their ears back. They got Joe Horns Jr. is going to come back. They got A.J. Boye. They got C.J. Henderson. They got Stephon Gilmore. They got Barnes. They got Reddick. They got Jeremy Chinn. They got the personnel to be dominant if they play the right way on offense.
Yeah, you're right, Bart. I mean, J.C. Horn is going to come back, and you put him with Gilmore and all those other guys. You got guys that can rush the passer. You got inside players. You got, like, this defense is absolutely legit. So that's why they're going for it here. And all those things you say are true. There's one big if. That's and to me, the big question is this, or the big statement is this. It's too bad Cam Newton can't throw. Because if he was the old Cam Newton,
yeah,
this would be the greatest thing going, and we'd see Carolina probably in the Super Bowl again. But yeah. Cam can't throw like that anymore, and it's unfortunate. However, that doesn't mean he can't play anymore. All right?
Right.
You're right. You put him in that kind of scheme. Christian McCaffrey's a beast. Got to just keep him healthy. So yeah. I don't know what you got to do with him, but keep that dude healthy, because that offense goes, it looks different when he's in there, obviously. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, he can play. How far they'll get, I don't know, because eventually somebody is going to make Cam have to push it down the field.
Well, Nick Foles, remember, Nick Foles couldn't throw. Like, Nick Foles is okay, but yeah. Nick Foles lived on that Super Bowl run behind the linebackers in front of the safeties. That's all it was. Quick slant here, dig and drag, a levels route there, right? Every once in a while, he'll shot put something outside if Robbie Anderson can get out there far enough and go get it. That's all he got to do. So, listen, I'm excited about this because I think if they get in, now, listen, don't at me, but they have the personnel to match up against Dallas, right? And I know the first time they played, you know, it was close for a little while and then Dallas blew it open. But now when you talk about being able to give them a guy that can match up with Cooper and Stephon Gilmore, a guy that can maybe slow down a matchup with CeeDee Lamb. Or right now, I think CeeDee Lamb is the best guy. So I put Gilmore on CeeDee Lamb.
Right.
Then I put Horn on Cooper, another physical guy, guy that's there to be great. And then I bring in a guy like A.J. Boye, and I'm saying, okay, well, I'm going to put him on these tight ends, or Gallup, or whoever right. The other guys is. They got four legitimate man-to-man lockdown type corners that they can put out there. So I think if they draw the matchup against Dallas, that's going to be very interesting for me to see, because they can, with Christian McCaffrey, force Dallas to play big boy ball and with Cam at the quarterback.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't, you're right. But Christian McCaffrey has to be healthy. If he's not healthy, that team's not going anywhere.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, your other favorite son, right? Your other favorite son, you know, man, I just don't get it, man. I don't know. The Superchargers ain't so super all the time, man. I don't understand how you lose these type of games. Now, I know, listen, Minnesota's played a lot of teams tough, right? You know, they got a solid defense. I know they were struck with COVID. But I expect the Chargers at this point, right? This is a team that used to lose the close games. This year, they've been a lot better. I mean, it cost our friend Anthony Lynn his job because they kept losing these tight games, couldn't find a kicker that can close the deal.
Right.
But here we are again, different day, same story with the Chargers.
Yeah, and Anthony Lynn won his last five games. And you have the rookie of the year as a quarterback. So that was a head scratcher for sure. I think their biggest problem still is that defense and not being able to – control the game. If you can't stop the run, you can't control the game. But that's a team that can get hot and can probably compete with anybody, but at the same time, they can lose to a team like the Vikings. They can lose to a Raven team that's depleted. So, you know, you really don't know what you're going to get from that team. They look like a playoff team to me, but how far they get in there is, I don't necessarily see it.
I tell you what, all we have to do to make sure that the Vikings go to the postseason, maybe get that seventh seed, is to just remind Kirk Cousins that these are 1 o'clock games and they aren't primetime games. And he always shows up and shows out, right? You know, you talk about throwing for, you know, clean game, 2 touchdowns, 294, right? He did his thing, right? And yeah. I don't understand why he can't play in those type of games. Justin Jefferson is just a stud, man.
Stud.
Like, I mean, listen, I know that Stephon Diggs was a great player. And, you know, he's doing his thing, and he's a number one receiver up there in Buffalo. But, man, if I had to pick between, you know, Diggs and Jefferson, I think the Minnesota Vikings got the better player.
Well, I mean, they're definitely, you know, comparable for sure. You know, even if you're a Stephon Diggs lover, I mean, you can't ignore the fact Justin Jefferson's legit. And then they got Thielen with them. And, oh, by the way, Dalvin Cook. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that offense for sure.
Now, I'm hesitant to make this statement, but the Tennessee Titans might be the Super Bowl favorite in the AFC. And I'm hesitant because now I think I cursed them. I think I cursed them right now.
Probably, Bart, I would
agree. Where did this defense come from? They didn't play defense like this ever.
No, and that's the thing. They're getting turnovers. They're doing all that. Kevin Byard.
They got a pass rush.
Great guy in the back end, but that's the key. It's the pass rush. Harold Landry's got a sack in like six straight games or seven straight games. You got
agent, by the way.
Yeah.
We always know when a player's up for contract.
He's not just chasing the quarterback fans. He's chasing the money. And so he's going to get paid. Jeffrey Simmons been an absolute beast on the inside for Tennessee. So I like their defense. When's the last time we could have said that? Like, they've been going to the playoffs with a 30th ranked defense. So now they're actually playing defense. And look, here's the scary thing. What happens if Derrick Henry does come back for the playoffs and he's healthy? Now it's almost like a blessing in disguise. He's been fresh legs. Oh my God. Could you imagine him fresh legs in the playoffs? Oh, that could be scary.
Man, on the other side, man, your heart kind of goes out for the Saints. I mean, Trevor Siemian, I mean, God bless his heart, right? You know, he threw for almost 300 yards. But if you gave Taysom Hill all this money, why isn't he playing quarterback? Because he gives you the better chance to be explosive. I know no Alvin Kamara. So, you know, you got to think that's a great performance to have to play, you know, Tennessee that tight without Kamara. But do they need to start really thinking about Taysom Hill at quarterback, or is Trevor Siemian who we're going to see and continue to see?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bart. I mean, the thing that got me is, you know, look, Sean Payton's great. We recognize he went 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback, you know, replacing Drew Brees last year. He was what, 3-1 with Taysom Hill, that. So I don't understand. I just keep going back to when Sean Payton said, this guy reminds me of Steve Young. Well, if that's the case, play the damn guy at quarterback.
Yeah, man. I don't get it, man. And it's crazy, right? When you think about it. You know, the two-point play, they decide to go to a wheel route to Mark Ingram. Like, really? Mark Ingram? Like, this dude at best is 50, is 40, 60 as far as confidence in him catching the ball. You know, but they were right there, man. And listen, they're going to make the playoffs, I believe.
Right.
Because that defense just is too good. But it's just a stinker, man, that the fact that we're not going to be able to see the best version of them. And that could be said about a lot of teams. I just thought they should have. I was surprised they didn't reach out to Cam or try. I guess they feel like they got Cam because they got Taysom Hill. So, you know, all good, man. But the Tennessee Titans definitely look like a team that you can bet on because of they're running the football and because they're playing defense. We know that's what you have to pack on the road when you go in the playoffs. You got to pack your defense and your run game, and they have both. And they've been able to be, you know, consistent with it, even without King Henry in the lineup. Now, another thing that was said, I guess sometimes we assume, but I thought everybody knew that a game can end in a tie. I mean, Najee Harris said after the game, he didn't know that the game can end in a tie. I hope he wasn't trying to play for double overtime and to try to hold on to the ball instead of trying to score because he thought they were going to get another shot at it. I mean, dude, I know you're a rookie. Remember how we always used to laugh because we had guys that didn't get touched and they put the ball down or on defense, guy fall, and they think it's college and they fall down and touch. But come on, Najee, man. Even if you think that, don't you can't say it, man. You can't say that.
Well, remember the old quarterback with Philadelphia said the same thing, and he had played for what, 10 years or something?
You know, yeah, Donovan McNabb. Yeah.
Donovan McNabb, he said the same thing.
But at least the rule was new when he did it. At this point, it's been in for like a decade at this point.
And you're right, but yeah, it is funny. But look at that game. You know, all the Steelers fans are going to say, well, he never had Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, well, the Lions had Jared Goff. So who's got the advantage there? Like, come on, give me a break. The Lions had 40 yards passing going into the overtime. 40 yards passing. But they're like, hell with it. We're going to just keep running and run the ball and punt it. Like, that's what they did. And
that was their offense. That's it. They flipped the field with their kicker.
Yep, I want the Lions to win so damn bad. I know you do, because that's your hometown.
Yeah,
you know,
man,
where you're from. But you know,
can we flex them? Can we flex them out of Thanksgiving's game? Can we flex them, please? Like, oh, my dad haven't had good stuffing and macaroni and cheese on Thanksgiving since I was a kid, because the Lions can never find a way to win a football game on Thanksgiving. And they just continues to force feed us that. Listen, I understand this is a tradition. It's been a tradition for a long time. But come on, man. After 50 years of this crap, man, please, please do the fans a favor, man. I think since I've been born on this earth over 40 years, I don't think I've ever remembered the Lions winning more than two games on Thanksgiving in my lifetime.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what the worst part is? They're going to wear those ugly ass uniforms.
Straight silver, no numbers.
Man, those things look so bad.
Oh, man, I tell you what, Rex, listen, this is something that we didn't anticipate. We got Monday Night Football, Rams versus Niners, but that's not the story. The story is the debut of Von Miller, but man, the debut of Odell Beckham, which role is so much more important now that Robert Woods suffered that tough injury in practice. We got experience with this. We lost Jim Leonard on a short week, and it threw us off, and we lost it. We got embarrassed.
Yes, we did.
Do you think that OBJ is good enough and Justin Jefferson is good enough to be able to kind of replace the productivity of Robert Woods?
Well, it's funny because I think that last week, the Rams were better as a receiving crew than they are this week. And what I mean is they had DeSean Jackson also leave, and now the horrible injury to Robert Woods. I think Odell Beckham, as good as he is, he's not the same guy he once was, but he's still he's still an amazing, you know,
quick
talent.
And tough.
Yeah, but the thing is, Robert Woods did all the dirty work. Like Robert Woods, they would send him
one
in motion
blockers,
and block defensive ends with him. Like, so he did all that work. The most selfless guy I've ever been, like an offensive guy I've been around. You know, I had the pleasure of coaching this young man at Buffalo, and I'm just telling you, a phenomenal talent, great receiver, but it's the intangibles that were so impressive about Robert Woods. And nothing against Odell Beckham. He ain't the same guy. He doesn't have those kind of intangibles. He's a great talent, okay, but he doesn't do the dirty work that Robert Woods did, and neither does Jefferson or anybody else they got. So to me, that's going to hurt the Rams. And then they also lose DeSean Jackson. He never did a whole lot.
The vertical threat, he never played.
But he gave
a
little vertical threat for him. So we'll see. But it's interesting to me. Odell Beckham went from being just we'll plug him in there as a third or fourth receiver to being a number two receiver. And to me, that's, you know, we're going to see. And here's the bad thing too, for Odell, he's been playing hurt. He's been playing with a bad shoulder, and we're going to see how that affects him too.
Yeah. And I made a mistake. I said Justin Jefferson. I meant Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Right?
Van Jefferson.
So I think that Van Jefferson is probably going to start. Cooper Kupp. They still have Higbee, but I think that, you know, when you think about Odell Beckham, what his skill set is at this point, it's kind of like Robert Woods, because he can do those jet sweeps. He can do those bubble screens. He can do those type of things. Now, he can't replace him as far as the blocking aspect, but, you know, Van Jefferson is a really big guy. I don't know if he's about that life. You know, he might just have to, you know, get in there and just cut somebody, just fall at delays and try and cut them off as you get to the next level. But, you know, OBJ can add something as far as, you know, and I think it's been reported. I think I heard that he may be returning punts too. You know, he's dynamic that way, because he may not have the long speed that he once had, but he does have that short area quickness. And he is a tough guy to bring down in space, because he's a strong guy as well.
Yeah, I just hope he's healthy. Like if they're going to use him as a punt returner, like Odell might be too tough for his own good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because I see him with those shoulders. We all know how that is, man. But this guy, I just hope he's not too tough for his own good.
Yeah, and I'm glad that that the debut is on the road, because you know he'll be too hyped up with LeBron and all his Hollywood buddies there cheering him on, trying to do too much. So trying to get his feet wet by, you know, maybe doing it on the road is the best place for him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right, man. So like let's go to the week 11. Let's go to week 11. We got the Pats, and I mean, listen, the Pats is, I mean, they're going to the soft part of their schedule, right? We got the Pats and Falcons. Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, you never assume with Matty Ice, because Matty Ice can get hot and go against anybody. Then next week we got another big one. Right. Ben should be back. We got the Chargers, you know, and the Steelers. And then, interesting enough, next Monday night, and seemingly almost a must win, we got the Giants and the Bucks. And remember last year, much like the Washington football team, the Giants really gave the Bucks a tough run for their money last year, and it looked like Big Blue was starting to figure some things out and play a little bit better.
Yeah, and by then they should be getting, you know, Saquon back in this game, and also, you know, will Golladay play? I don't know. I mean, one of these days you got to play, right? So if they actually get healthy offensively, they can push the Bucks. I don't doubt that the Giants can push them. And you know what's going to happen on Thursday night? Falcons will beat the Patriots, and we'll all be like, where the hell did that come from? But the way this season's going, I wouldn't doubt it.
Hey, I tell you what, right now, after the Ravens lost to Miami, I'm betting on the home team every time.
Man, I'm telling you, Bart.
I don't know what's in the water right now, but you talk about, you know, the Pats on a short week. You know, they had, you know, basically homecoming going against the Browns. But, yeah, you may be right. You may be right, man. I tell you what. Week 10 was amazing. Week 11, you know what? The NFL never disappoints.
You're right. Absolutely. Can't wait for him.
No doubt. So, once again, I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This is Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every weekend from now until Super Bowl Super Sunday. You can always catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 on the Bart and Hines Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And you can catch Rex every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday morning. Man, it's going to be, man, please console Greeny tomorrow on Get Up. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week. Swagoo and Perk, ESPN podcast led by his namesake host, Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swagoo, and Kendrick Perkins, with a new episode every Tuesday morning. Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest in the NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their life's career journey with a can't-miss conversation. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, and also available on ESPN's YouTube channel.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.